my joy. You are my song. You are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. Where else would I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me.
Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand this evening.
Good evening, good evening. If we could work our way back to our seats. Let's continue to praise our Lord and Savior by turning to page 195. 195, singing Nothing But the Blood. Continue by singing Have Faith in God, page 408. Singing, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful."
Evening, everybody. Thanks for coming back tonight to our second part of revival this evening with Brother Terrell Hudson. A couple announcements before we get started tonight. Number one, I just want to kind of go over the parade on Thursday for Northmont. The teens are invited to be in the parade. We're going to meet at the Walgreens right there across the street from Kroger. It starts at 6, but we got to be ready by 5:30. So anybody, if you're a mom or guardian, dad, whoever, please have your teen there at Walgreens. I'll meet you there. We'll walk over. I'm not for sure how long it lasts, but we're just going to hand out a bunch of salt and light tracks that has our church info on it. And this is the best opportunity for us to be able to get a lot of tracks out pretty easy. Just walking around, just handing out tracks as long as the parade goes. So if you can make it, please be there again. And then also, I got a bunch of tracks in my office. I'm getting candy tomorrow. So if you come back tomorrow night, it'd be amazing if some of you guys could take 10, 15 tracks and just tape some packs of candy on the tracks Helps. We can just pass it out that way instead of trying to carry all these. So if you can help, that'd be an amazing blessing. And then also Friday, we got the youth event, fifth quarter, at Philip and Cynthia Harris's house. If you have a bulletin, the address is there, or if you don't have the address, please come to me afterwards. I'm not going to say it due to live purposes, but we're going to meet at their house at 6:30, and then from there we're going to drive over to the football game. It's homecoming game, and then after that we're going to come back and have some buffalo dip, some barbecue weenies, and just kind of a fellowship and have a little small devotion, and hopefully we can see some visitors come from the game. You guys can bring your friends to that. So don't be afraid to invite somebody to that. Other than that, just remember Monday through Wednesday, revival starts at 7, so be here at 7. And again, each night there's a different theme night. So again, if you don't have a bulletin, grab one. And then also last things last is I'm excited about, not just for the preaching, but also for ice cream. You know, so ice cream, we're going to go right after service. And to the fellowship hall, I saw a bunch of amazing ice creams. There's toppings, all kinds of stuff. So after that, there's drinks over there. We'll throw on some little music for the background and all that. So let's pray, and then we got a special for you. Lord, we're just thankful for this wonderful evening in your house. And Lord, I thank for everyone that's here. And Lord, I ask that you would be with Dr. Taro Hudson, Lord, that you just hide him behind your cross, Lord, that you speak through him, that you would open up our hearts, that we'll get something out of it, Lord, that we can start revival with our own selves. Lord, I ask that we could see visitors through this week, that we could see a soul saved this week, that you put someone in our path that we could just invite and just share the gospel with. Lord, I ask that you just be with everyone in here, keep them safe as they travel home, and keep them healthy, and Lord, we love you. Name pray. Amen.
It's hard to make an honest living when I'm not an honest guy. I could toss my nets into the water and hope the tide runs high. Out there in the distance, I see you standing on the shore. You say there's a new way of fishing that I've never tried before. I thought you'd come and shine from across the sea, but you got down in the boat with me. Hey Jesus, really wanna follow you, 'cause no one's ever done for me the things I've watched you do. Who you are, I know I've got a ways to go. Can you walk with me that far? I'm so glad you called my name before I could even say, hey Jesus. I got caught up in some trouble, but I'm not putting up a fight, 'cause justice comes in the morning for the sin that I'm doing at all. Naked and abandoned, I'm bracing for that first stone. You touch my face and let me know my guilt's eyes are gone. You shouldn't take your place in the judge's seat, but you wrote in the sand for me. Hey Jesus, really wanna follow you, 'cause no one's ever done for me the things I've watched you do. Hey Jesus, I really love who you are. I know I've got a ways to go, could you walk with me that far? I'm so glad you called my name before I could even say, hey Jesus, hey Jesus. too late for forgiveness. Do you remember me tonight? And with your dying breath, you welcome me to paradise. You could have left me alone in my suffering, but you stayed on the cross with me. Hey Jesus, I really want to follow you, 'cause no one's ever done for me the things I've watched you do. Hey Jesus, I really love who you are. I know I've got a ways to go, can you walk with me that far? I'm so glad you called my name. Before I could even say, hey, Jesus.
Alrighty, thank you. It's good to be back in church, amen? I like Sunday night church, I do. That's a lot of places I've preached in my life. You go there right now and the lights are off and it's all quiet and dark and nobody's in the parking lot. Well, I don't see how that's better than lights on and singing and saying amen and preaching and giving an invitation. That's better. How is that not better? And so I'm glad to be at a church that still believes in Sunday night. We call it the Lord's Day. And then too many Baptists, they just give him the morning. They ought not be allowed to say Lord's Day. They ought to have to say Lord's morning. That's all they give him. Amen. And I like the Lord's Day, but... we're not better than everybody that's not here, but I'm just glad we're here. This is where I want to be. That's what I'm saying. But these days will come and go now. I said it this morning. It'll be just a few minutes. It'll be Wednesday night. I know that's technically not true, but that's what it will seem like. And so let's pray. Amen. And work. And if everybody here just call two or three people, text, passenger pigeon, something. Just get a hold of somebody. You look at what we could have... Our group right here in just a few minutes could accomplish what a whole church staff, it would take all week to do if everybody of us would just do a little. Does that make sense? So watch for opportunity, and let's pray that God would do something real special. And I still like revival. I think it's a lot of times people are, well, they'll not revive us again, the Bible says. And I'm not against, Bible conferences and spiritual enrichment days and all of that. I'm not against that at all, but I'm not against old-fashioned revival. I like that. Somebody told Billy Sunday, he was a great revivalist the days going by, they said revival, it doesn't last. And he said neither does a bath, but I think we ought to keep taking them, amen? they're just something about giving some days to the Lord. And it's not the whole day, it's just a few hours. So be here, will you do that? You're here now, come back, and let's pray and just watch for God to do something. Deuteronomy chapter 32, would you find that? Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And I said this morning, I don't preach great messages, I don't know how, but just kind of a thought. This morning was, there's a lot of things we ought not ever be ashamed of, and speak up, say something, Not arrogant, not beating people over the head with a family Bible. That's, we got too many kooks now, amen? You know what I'm saying? You do more harm than good. And the world's not interested in that. There's too many nut. And I'm not trying to be unsympathetic to people with genuine mental difficulties. Don't misunderstand me. But what the world is looking for is someone that's genuinely different because they have a relationship with the living God. And that's interesting. That gets their attention, and that we mean it. It's a heartache. We react different than someone who doesn't know the Lord. Amen. And that's what people are, it seems to me, are looking for today. So that was this morning. Let's not be ashamed. And then tonight in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, I'll read the text in just a minute. Hang on to it. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. You believe that? He is the Creator. Creation demands a creator. I don't believe in some big bang, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that we can, the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. I believe that I believe we ought to be in church on Sunday morning, not out somewhere hugging a tree. Amen. But when you get on a tree on Saturday afternoon, I mean, look at it. I mean, you know, God did that. But keep the balance there. I believe there's sermons in stones. There's books in brooks that when we look at creation, there we can learn lessons about our God. Didn't Jesus say, consider the lilies of the field, how they toil not, and neither do they spin? But yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So what did Jesus say? Stop and look at the flower. God did that. And Solomon, with all of his cash, he could not copy that. The Bible says in Proverbs, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. Solomon said, her ways productive. You ladies, isn't it something that Solomon said, her ways? I'm on your side here, ladies. Do you see what I'm saying there? You know, she was doing all the work, apparently. And when you look at an ant, they're busy. They're smart. They're up to something. You know, somebody told them when the picnic was. And they all show up, right? But when we look at ants, God said, if you're lazy, look at the ants and let the ant preach you a sermon. To be active. God said in one of the things that I find so interesting. Years ago, I was up in Manitoba. Me and some buddies, we borrowed somebody's airplane, and one of my buddies could fly. So we would go way up in Manitoba. We were way up there. They said about another 100 miles, we'd start seeing polar bears. You know, so we were way up there, and there were eagles up there. Them things were everywhere. Now we have a few eagles in Dayton. You know, down along the Ohio River, there's some down in South Lebanon. There's a few around. But not a lot, you know. When you see one, you tell everybody all about it. We had one in West Carrollton down by my daughter's house not long ago, and she said, Daddy, there's an eagle out here. And I said, no, it's a buzzard. Found out it really was an eagle, you know. And she brought the paper and showed me. But anyway, it's interesting that God said, now we're looking at nature and creation, that God said that some, and I was watching all them eagles. Finally got a chance, and there were hundreds of them, really. They would fill up hillsides. They got to flying around. They was catching fish. And I just got all intrigued by all of that. Came back and did some study. And a mama eagle deals with her babies, that sometimes God deals with us like that. Well, that was fascinating to me. As an eagle deals with its babies, there'll be times in my life when God will deal with me like that. Now watch for that thought in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 9. The Bible says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. This is called chasing a rabbit. That's when you kind of get off the subject. When I was a young preacher, I said, I'll never do that. But I've decided now I'm 68 and I'm going to have my turn. You know, and the point here is it's talked like a will. An inheritance or a will, God doesn't need another street of gold. God doesn't need another star. You know what God's treasure is? It's us. That's humbling to me. God says, it's my people. It's not gold, silver. It's God. God loves you. Well, take that home. Amen. God loves you. God will always love you. And God considers you, well, yes, God, are you rich? And God will say, yes. Why are you rich? Top of his list is because you and me. He loves us. Now, we don't deserve it. Let's not get to thinking sideways here. We don't deserve it, but I'm just telling you the love of God, how rich and strong. Amen. How measureless and pure. Now, watch. The Lord's portion, what his part, if you will, of it is us. Now, he's talking about his people here. He found them in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He's talking about his people. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Now watch close. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So, as the eagle does this, so, verse 12, the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. I know I'm stopping right in the middle of a sentence there, but thank God there's still honey in the rock. Amen? Let's stop and pray for a minute, then we'll come back. Father, we thank you for the music tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a church that has a service on a Sunday night. And Lord, I thank you for these dear people. And God could have been somewhere else doing something else, but they wanted to be here. And God, I'm trusting you to bless them for that. Lord, speak to all of our hearts. Lord, I feel confident that most here are saved. But Lord, I can't say for certain that. And Lord, if there be someone here lost, I pray that tonight they'd be settled once and forever. And Lord, each of us who are here, Lord, just a little while, these lights will be off, and it'll be very quiet and very still in this room. And Lord, when that moment comes, I pray that you will have been pleased with what's happened. It says here that God deals with us like an eagle deals with her babies. Brings up a point. If that's true, then how does a mama eagle deal with her babies? Now, let me say this before somebody comes running up here with an encyclopedia. Every breed of eagle doesn't do this, but there are some that do, and that's what Deuteronomy is talking about. And what that's talking about is these breed of eagles, they will, when it's time to, you know, lay an egg, she'll go way up high on a big old cliff or tall dead snag or something, and she will build her a nest. And it's huge. I mean, it's monstrous. The you know how the robin does stuff on your windowsill with little sticks? This eagle does sticks. It's been around with great big sticks, you know. And boy, she builds that just real secure, way up high. No coyotes, no wolves, no snakes, no foxes, you know, way up there. And she will get it just perfect. And then she will feather it with her own feathers. She'll line that thing and just get it perfect, way up tall. And then it comes time for the eggs, usually two. And she will lay those eggs, and then it's not long before the little eaglets hatch. They'll hatch out, and there they are in that nest, and it is home sweet home. You know what I'm saying? They like it there. Mama will run off, and she will come back with a fish or a lizard or snake or something. And boy, when mama comes and those big old wings come flopping in there and she lands up on the side of that nest, and them little old eaglets, what they do is they'll open their mouth wide, just like the little robins, you know, out in your yard. And boy, they it's just, it's like calling Pizza Hut every day. I mean, you know, here she comes, you know, and she's got a little rabbit or something. And them little eaglets, boy, they like it. They're happy. They're protected. They're warm. Mama is doing all of the work. I heard about a teenager complaining about their parents. Said, she washes my clothes. She cooks the dinners. She makes my bed. And the guy said, what are you complaining about? He said, I'm afraid they might get away. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the mom, the little eaglets, they like it. They're warm. They're protected. And they have no intention of ever leaving that nest. Why would they? Mama's doing all the work. They're being fed. They're safe. They like it there. They might have peeked out over the edge once or twice and, oh, my soul. You know, and there's a big old world out there and it's a long way down. They probably kind of back up and say, what's for dinner? And life is just about as good as it can possibly be. And then one day, Mama will come back and she'll land up on the side of that nest. And you know what the little eaglets do? You know, what's for dinner tonight? But this time, Mama spreads in big old wings. You know what she does? They're sitting there with their head cocked back and their mouth wide open. And you know what she does? Wham! Wham! Little eagle. She's going crazy. I mean, they have never experienced this in all of their life. You know, bam, 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 bam. And they're about to die. And they got to get out of here. Good night, Irene. She's going to kill us. And what they'll finally do is they'll hop up on the edge. Hop up on the edge, look down, go, whoa, you know, and they pull back. And now when the nest is empty, Mama hops over in there, whoosh. And she acts like a big guy on an airplane. I get next to him every time. You know, they have the kind of spread out all over. You know what I mean, you know. And she takes up the whole nest. The whole nest. She sits there. her big wings. And those wings that were comfort and warmth and protection, they just about just killed me, that little eagle thing. And she spreads them out. And there they sit. They're on the edge looking down, and it's a long way down there, looking down at Mama. She has completely lost her mind now. And they're looking at her, and she's sitting there. And one of them, they just went back in the nest. Now, this is important. They haven't done anything wrong. They haven't been out carousing. They haven't been out stealing from other nests. They haven't been out, you know, telling gossip or something. They haven't done anything wrong. They were where God had put them, if you will. They were just wanting to live their life. Now, Mama has took the whole thing up. They are scared to death. One of them decides, I'm going to get back in one way or another. And trying to get back in, inevitably, one of those little boogers will crawl over and get on her back. And when they get on her back and she feels them little talons in her back, you thought this day couldn't get worse? It's about to get worse. You know what she does? She goes, whoosh, and she's gone, flying through the sky. Then that little old eaglet is sitting there terrified and never expected this. When it woke up that morning, this was the last thing it ever dreamed would happen. It's sitting there with them little old claws hanging on desperately in the back of Mama's back, right behind her neck, flying through the sky. It's just got four or five little feathers on top of its head like a punk rock dude, and it's just wagging in the hair, you know. And it's just flying through the sky, and all the little thing wants to do is go back home, and it hasn't done anything wrong. It's not been out sinning, if you will. It hasn't done anything wrong. And it doesn't know why Mama is acting this way. It doesn't know why it can't just be in its nest. And just when it's thinking, this can't get any worse than this, them wings has got rudders on them. And Mama does what she does, and Mama goes so fast, so hard, straight down, the little eaglet loses its grip, and it is in the air. Thousands and thousands of feet high, screaming and falling head over heels, over feet, over wings, over tail, over feet, over head. And its little old wings are out, and the canyon floor is coming up, 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 you know. And it's falling, it's falling, it's falling, it's falling, it's falling. But before it hits the ground, you know what Mama does? She catches it. It just wants to go back to the nest. It hasn't done anything wrong. It didn't ever dream it would ever go through a time like this in all of its life. You know what Mama does? Up, rudder, whoo, it's all over them. Sooner or later, that little old booger, and instead of falling straight down, it kind of goes sideways. What happens? Now get this, this is the sermon right here. Through an experience, not because of any sin that it had done, and through an experience that it would have done everything in its power to have never had to go through, it learns lessons that it never could have learned any other way. That Mama knows that little baby has to build its own nest someday. Mama knows that little baby's got to catch its own food someday. Mama knows that little baby has its own thermal currents to float on and mountain ranges to sail over and to enjoy all of the things, and that it had a life waiting on it far bigger than that nest, even though it loved that nest so much. Now, Christian, get this. And God says sometimes He deals with me and you like that. Now, there's nobody here but us, so let's talk. Did you ever feel like that little eaglet? Have you ever felt like that? And there you are, and it just seems like life is topsy-turvy, and you find yourself in circumstances and going through things that you thought maybe others would go through, but not me, but all of a sudden, yeah, me too. And we find ourselves in circumstances in life, maybe tears are shed, or doubt comes in, or hurt, or brokenness, and we never dreamed we'd face that. And again, it's not necessarily because of sin. Maybe you haven't done anything. None of us are perfect, I get that. But you do love the Lord. I mean, you do. You're not claiming, you're not the world's greatest Christian, and I'm not. We never claim to be. But when we look at our heart and say, but Lord, I do love you, and I'm trying. I'm really trying. I want to do right. And Lord, I want to be like you, and I want you to lead me in my life. And we say, Lord, if there's a sin in my life, show it to me. But God doesn't do that. But all of a sudden, there we are in a situation that we never dreamed we would face, with tears in our eyes that we never dreamed we would shed, going through an experience that we never thought that we would, and we haven't been out sinning, but we find ourselves there. And God said, God never said that that day wouldn't ever come. God pretty much said those days would come to our lives. Amen? You see, the whole truth is, God takes that to teach to us something that we could not have learned any other way. There's a, we get comfortable. You know what we are? We're nesters. Israel done. Well, they went over to Egypt where they never should have been. They stayed there for 400 years, right? And then there arose a king which knew not Joseph, the Bible said, in Exodus 1. And the taskmasters came, and they found themselves with their workload increased and their life all in a mess. You know what that is? Why? They didn't belong there. Where did they belong? They belonged in Canaan. God came down, and he knows how to stir our nests. Amen? A divine disturbance. Now, let me say this. Sometimes God does that when he's dealing with sin in my life and your life. If any man say that he has no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And if I go through something, God still knows how to, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Don't look at me sideways when I use biblical terminology. Amen? And what the Bible is saying there is, if I get out and act bad and do things that I know are wrong, when I do that, God still knows how to take us to the woodshed. Amen? And God will. And God will do me, and God will do you, and God will do my mom, and God will do your mom, and there's no child of God that doesn't need to be corrected. Amen? But I'm talking, what about when our life turns upside down again? And we say, Lord, I'm trying. I love you. I the best I can. I want to do your will. And we're trying to live right, and still we find ourselves there. Those are those times that come when our nest is being torn up. We all want to just, we're nesters. Every one of us are. You know what the Bible says in Job 29:18? Job said, I shall die in my nest. Isn't that interesting? What was Job saying? Job was saying, I got it all feathered just right. I got it fixed just right. I got the sticks real strong. I'm trying to be a good guy here. And all of a sudden, God came down and he knew how to stir it. He knows how to do that. There comes that time in our lives. George W. Truett, great Baptist preacher from years gone by. He's in heaven now. He's independent. Oh, that's funny. Don't you all catch stuff like that. Amen. George W. Truett, great preacher. He said, now listen to this, Christians. This is a little bit different kind of a sermon. I'm kind of teaching Sunday school right here, I know. But now listen. Truett said, if you have imagined that the ideal life is ease and rest and quiet, your imagination has been a vain one. The ideal life is marked by struggle, change, conflict, and upheaval. We're called to endure hardness as good soldiers. We're called to fight the good fight of faith. Most of us want to serve God, but the problem is we decide we're going to serve him in an advisory capacity. And God doesn't need advisors. And when you get out on the fire line and start shooting, the devil knows how to shoot back. Amen? And those times will come into our life. Why does God... It happens, folks. I left church here this morning, just personal little... I left... You just know that's never good. You just know it's never good. So I get away from the men's meeting, and I pick the phone up, and I call Diane, and I said, well, there's something wrong. And a preacher named Harless Hammonds in Moraine did a great job. Preached at Little York Road Baptist Church for years. Good man. Good man. I grew up with his son, Alan, and he had a sister named Teresa. And we all grew up together. We went to Canada fishing together and all that. Alan, his son, was my friend. He lives down in Watts Bar Lake in Tennessee now. Anyway, Teresa's about my age. I mean, I'm not that old. Oh, Curtis Hudson, somebody said, I'm middle-aged, I'm 55. He said, how many 110-year-olds do you know? And so I may be past middle-age, but I'm still eating my Wheaties. But Teresa's healthy, always laughing. I did a funeral not long ago down South Lebanon, and she was there, and we talked about old times. Just sweet lady, love the Lord. I called Diane, I said, what's wrong? She said, Teresa died. I said, what? What? I said, what happened? She said, well, she had fallen and she went having some therapy done and went on a walk with her daughter and went home and sat down in a chair and there's a blood clot and she just died. Just died. Larry and Alan, her brothers, I guarantee you, they never dreamed yesterday at this time, they never dreamed they'd be having their sister's funeral this week. And you listen to me, you and I don't know what the next phone call will bring. We don't know. We don't know. You never know when our life is suddenly going to turn upside down. There comes those times into our life, and you say, is all of that from the Lord? No, but I believe God took Teresa home. I believe it was God's will for her life. I believe she's rejoicing in the presence of the Lord now. Amen? But when those times come, we got to deal with that, and that sorrow, all things still work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Old Adrian Rogers said, nothing bad can ultimately happen to the child of God. God will make it work for good. Amen? Even the ruffling of our nest. Why does God ruffle our nest? Because if He didn't, we'd never get out. We would sit right there and wait what's coming next. We would die in our nest. We don't like the ruffling. But you listen to me. Isn't it amazing that God has plans for your life and has never dreamed of sailing over mountain ranges? But God knows all about that. And He comes in the early church. You remember what happened? God came and Jesus rose from the dead, and you have there the addition to the church on the day of Pentecost, and God told them what? To go into where? Did God say go into Jerusalem and make a nest? No. What did He say? Go into all the world. What did they do? They went to Jerusalem and made a nest. They went right in there and they started preaching and they was loving church and they was having fellowships after on Sunday night. I just made that part up. But they liked it. They were having a good time. They probably had church picnics. They're having a good time. I'm carrying on here. But they liked it. People was getting saved and they're meeting new friends. And can you imagine the singing of these people and the preaching? Can you imagine the preaching that they were listening to? And what'd they decide? We're going to stay right here. What happened? Persecution. Was that persecution from God? No, but He was not helpless when it happened. What did they do? They went into all the world doing what? What they should have done in the first place. Amen? That nest comes. Elijah, he got up and he sat down by the brook and the ravens started feeding him. What's Elijah doing sitting down by a brook? He's nesting. He's nesting. What did God do? He ruffled his nest. Jonah was a nester. The word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and go to Nineveh. He was somewhere sitting down. Get up, Jonah, get up. I ain't going now, I'm going to Tarshish. And so he gets on a boat headed for Tarshish. And by the way, child of God, just because you can find a boat and a ticket to Tarshish doesn't mean that that's God's will. Jonah knew he should have went to Nineveh. Just can you see what I'm saying? And what did Jonah do? He gets on the boat. What does he do? He goes down the bottom. Why? He makes him a nest. They have a big storm. They got to go down and get him. They got to, hey, get up. They got him out of his nest. Bring him up here. They throw him overboard. Whale swallowed the whale if God wanted him to. Amen. But the whale swallowed Jonah. After 3 days and three nights, the whale vomited him up on the ground. Old R.G. Lee says, I don't blame that whale. There ain't nothing more sickly than a backslidden Baptist preacher. Amen. And he threw him up on the ground. And you read your Bible. The word of the Lord came unto him again the second time saying, Jonah, arise, and that bird had sat down again. Amen. He made him another nest. He and he got him up and he went to Tarshish and he preached, or went to Nineveh and preached, and they had a great revival and all these people got saved and Jonah pooched his lip out and got mad. He wanted God to destroy him. He didn't like him. God wanted to save him. So Jonah, he's pouting now. So what does he do? Goes up on the side of the hill and builds himself a nest. God sent a gourd. Oh, he liked that. A better nest. God sent a worm. He didn't like that. Lost his nest. And then he got all upset, and God said, I only have a right to love children under the right hand from their left hand, more than you're caring about a stupid nest. Baptist, let me ask you a question. What upsets you more, somebody lost and dying and going to hell, or the first scratch on your new car? Amen. Nesters. We just like the nest. We want our lives to just run. Why? What's God after? What does God want? Real quick, when you say, and again, I don't know what your life is in right now. It may not be like that little eagle falling through the sky at all. But you listen to a little preacher, those days come to all of our lives. They come to all of our lives. Sometimes it's the word cancer. Sometimes it's the word divorce. Sometimes it's our son's on drugs. It can be, you listen to me, man born a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Amen? And we all face those days. And I'm not saying that God's making people to be drug addicts or anything silly like that. Please understand me. But I'm simply saying, and I'm not a Calvinist. Don't fuss at me about it. We're going to argue on that one. You know, I'm not a Calvinist. But I do believe that God works in our lives. I believe that. I had no problem with that at all. And I'm not a Calvinist. Don't misunderstand me. And if you don't know what all that means, don't worry about it tonight. But anything that happens to me, we have to agree God allowed it to happen. God allowed it. If it happened, then God allowed it. You can't get around that. Amen? And when God allows something, then he has a purpose for it. What's God after? Let me give you some thoughts real quick. Number one, could I suggest commitment? Commitment. That little eaglet is falling down through the sky. Let's say we can talk eagle. And we slide up next to him and said, hey, are you interested in learning how to fly? Do you want to wait till tomorrow or learn today? Kind of try a little bit. I'll try. Amen. You know, the little booger is going to be very committed to learning how to fly right now, and it's going to do his best. Sometimes God. Remember the last time you prayed with an earnestness far beyond your normal day? It was probably a time when your nest was being ruffled. When do we cry out to God and plead for his mercy in our lives and leading? Many of us have a hard time doing that when the bluebirds are singing and the sun's shining and everything is rosy. Whole truth is, we act a whole lot more like we love him and need him when we go through the valley than when we're on the mountaintops. Amen. God wants a commitment. Why does God so want a commitment? What does commitment lead to? It leads to confidence. Look at Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 13. Watch this. Now look at this. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. I like that. He made him. Have you ever heard this? You know, I don't know how to be a soul winner. And so sometimes we have soul winning classes. And how to answer questions, and I'm not against those classes, you know, and kind of, I'm not against those. Anything to get somebody saved, I'm all for it. But, you know, I don't believe that soul winning is just a spiritual gift. I believe that that's all of our responsibility. And you say, well, I just don't know how to do it. What did Jesus say? He said, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. He said, well, I'm not leading anybody to Christ. With all the love of my heart, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, but are you following Christ? When we follow Christ, if we're following Christ, following his commands, near to him, Jesus said, I'll make you to be fishers of men. How do we learn how to soar? How do we learn how to find that time when our life is so stirred? God, what are you trying to do in my life? How do I come out of this with what you're trying to give me? He made him to ride on the high places of the earth. God will take those circumstances in our life that we would never choose, do everything in our life to avoid if we could, but God says, no, now it's time. But he is making a purpose take place in our life that would not have happened any other way. That makes sense. There's a little eaglet that never dreamed he could do that. That's what is it? It's the touch of the Master's hand. I like that poem, 'twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, said he, who'll start the bidding for me, a dollar, two now, two, and two now, who'll make it three, and $3 once, $3 twice, and going for three, but no. From the room far back came an old gray-haired man. He came forward and he picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin, tightening all the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel for the old violin, and he held it up with the bow. $1,000, now who'll make it two? $2,000, now who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going, said he, and the people cheered, but some of them cried, we just don't quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply. It was the touch of the Master's hand. And many a man with his life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned too cheap to a thoughtless crowd. Much like the old violin, a mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game when he travels on. He is going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. And the Master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul or the change that's wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. And when God comes and touches our lives, sometimes it's way up high in a place we've never been before, and we just don't like it there. But God has a purpose for your good and for His glory. Amen? Those times of commitment. What does it lead to? It leads to confidence. That little booger finds out that he can fly. Wow. Folks, I've been teaching, when I'm at Moraine Heights, I teach a Sunday school class. I'm there about a third of the time, and I don't know. I'd come up with some other idea. It's hard to teach a series when you go all the time. But when I've been there, we've preached all the gifts of the Spirit. You say, you charismatic? Yeah, buddy. But there are sign gifts like tongues, interpretation of tongues, healing, raising people from the dead that were sign gifts. And they cease with the canon. But there are things like edification. There's things like pastor. There's things like teacher. There's things like helps. There's things like governments. The Bible is full of gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to every one of us. Wouldn't it be a happy day in America if in all the Baptist churches, all the blood-bought children of God would figure out what their spiritual gift was and start using it for the glory of God? Don't you reckon that'd make a difference in our song service? Don't you reckon it'd make a difference in our preaching service? Don't you reckon it'd make a difference in our outreach? If all of a sudden we understand, well, God, if you're enabling me in some way, if you've given me a grace gift that I did not earn, but I want to use it for your glory, we would haul off and do stuff that we'd sell ourselves. Some of y'all have got music and you're hiding your talent under a bushel. You need to be up here singing. Some of you all can do, you've been through life experience. Let me challenge you. What have you been through in your life? Some of you all have heard that word cancer. The pastor didn't tell me a thing, but in a crowd this size, I guarantee you, some of y'all have heard that word cancer. Why not write a little track when the doctor said cancer and how God brought you through that? You see, that could do more good than me preaching forever when I have never been through that. Some of you ladies, maybe you've had a problem in bearing children. Can I talk to you? You take a young bride that been married for a few years and God's not blessed them with a baby and their hearts are busting and they want a child and they don't know why is it God doing that in my life. And I can get in the pulpit and slap the pulpit and tell about Hannah and Samuel and all that all night and day. But you can come along and say, honey, I've been through this. I've cried just like I know you're crying. And put your armor, let's go eat lunch tomorrow, and let's just talk. You listen to me. You pay attention now. I am telling you, you have no idea. There's a God in heaven that God looks at a little fellow with five loaves and two fishes, fed 5,000. You'll never convince me that was the only guy in that crowd that had lunch. And then, you know, it's just that little booger was willing to put it in Jesus' hand. What God's looking for, and what when we get committed to it, God, my nest is stirred. I'm afraid I don't understand, but I'm just going to trust you. Then lo and behold, God who is faithful, and we find ourselves flying and doing things, singing and preaching and nursing home and being the mom and the dad that God wants us to be and the grandparents that God wants us to be and supporting your church and loving your pastor and getting behind the mission program. Good night, Irene. You listen, folks. We're just scratching the surface when we could do so much more. But so often we go through an experience like a little eaglet, and like Jonah, we pooch our lip out and get mad and blame the preacher or somebody and go sit under a juniper tree, which is the worst thing we could do. A good revival would be for all of us to say, I'm going to learn how to fly. Old John R. Rice. Y'all ever hear John R. Rice preach? Look him up in heaven. That man was so smart, it was scary. You listen, there's a God in heaven that will use us. That's a conquest. What happens then? 32:10. Look at verse 10. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, floweth over young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them. Now, think about this. They love mama. But they loved her because she brought them food and feathered the nest. They're experiencing a closeness to mama about a mile above the canyon floor with their little talons hanging on tightly that they never would have experienced in that nest. Am I making sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we want to be close to God and have that communion and that sweetness and that fellowship. But we want it on our terms. Sometimes God does that in a hospital room. Sometimes God does that in a situation that we never would have chosen, but God has a purpose for it greater than our objections. Does that make sense? Now watch. So a Lord, he kept him, now verse 10, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. There was that communion. There was that closeness. Back to Exodus 14, is it verse number 9? I think that's the one I want. Exodus 19:4. Now watch this. Ye have seen, God said, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. He's talking to Israel. He said, Brother Tull, I don't know about this eagle business. I think you're kind of stretching it. Look in your King James Bible at Exodus 19 and verse number 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you on eagle's wings. That's a good place to say amen. And God, what was God's purpose? God doesn't ever do anything haphazardly or without plan. What was the purpose? Exodus 19:4, bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. I brought you to me, the apple of my eye, my inheritance, my treasure. I was bringing you to myself. That closeness, that communion. And you Christians, and most of y'all saved, if not all, we know when we're where we need to be, and we know when we're not. Amen? Amen. I know when I've got to stop, get somewhere with the Lord, and get it back to where it needs to be. Don't you? You're saying, what kind of a preacher are you? A human one. We're going to find us a perfect evangelist. Lots of luck with that one. you tell me how that works out. We all need those times. But listen, God wants those times more than we do. I wasn't planning on preaching on this at all. But can I get off the subject? I'm going to. The communion, that closeness. That flying through the sky and on mama's and trusting mama. When mama comes under and catches you. Ornithologists. You didn't know I knew that word, did you? It cost my daddy $50 for me to go to college and learn that word. There have been bird people. They filmed this. You know how many times they've seen the little baby eagles die? Zero. I'm not saying it's never happened, but I'm telling you, we've never seen it happen. Maybe God just don't let us ever see it. Why? Because underneath are the everlasting wings. And that communion, you think about your problems in life. I'm not saying your heart's not broken right now. I'm not saying you haven't shed tears, and I can't promise you won't do it again. But there's something about those times when God is close in a way that we sense his presence, perhaps. We should all the time, but it doesn't always happen like that in our lives. But we sense his presence when we understand all of a sudden, anew and afresh, how desperately we need him. And God wants that more than even that we do. You remember when Jesus was risen from the dead in the road to Emmaus, and he drew near to the disciples that were walking down the road in Luke 24. I wasn't planning on preaching on this at all, but he didn't let them know it was him when they was walking down the road. Y'all remember that story? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the chief priests and our rulers delivered to be condemned to death. We trusted it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Certain women also of our company were astonished when they were early at the sepulchre that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us to the sepulchre found it so as the women said, but him they saw not. And then, so they're walking down the road. Jesus isn't letting them know it's him. The disciples are saying, it's the third day. We've heard maybe he's arisen. They're all tore up and they're just in a turmoil. They're on their way to Emmaus. And when Jesus then speaks back, this is really neat. Get this. I'm at Luke 24, 25. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When I get to heaven, I really want to hear a replay of that Sunday school lesson, don't you? He went back in all of the Old Testament, all of the prophets, and he began to explain to these disciples how those were pictures of himself. And now they're walking down the road, and they drew nigh unto the village where they went. So they're at the end of the road. Jesus is speaking with these disciples. They're hearing about the Christ and the Messiah. Jesus is explaining to them all these things. They still don't know it's him. Now look at your Bible. In the middle of verse 28, and he made as though he would have gone further. Isn't that fascinating? Well, I got to go. It's time to leave. It's kind of like this. Maybe me and Brother Bryson Thompson are out visiting and I run. I'm driving, and so we run by his house, and I run. I'm going to say hi to Miss Thompson and the kids, and I run up there and step in, and she's cooking prime rib or something. Rolls, gravy. I can smell apple pie. I can smell the ice cream. You know. Miss Thompson said, Brother Terrell, stay and eat with us. Y'all, I got to get going. Oh, come on, stay and eat with us. You weren't expecting company. I just go on. We got plenty. Come on. Well, I don't want to intrude. Bryson, tell him to stay and eat with us. He goes, come on, preacher, just stay. All right. And the whole truth is, I've been dying to stay the whole time. I was only making as though I had to go on. That's what Jesus did. He wanted to stay. He wanted to be with them. Now there's a God in heaven, and he is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. But there's a God in heaven whose heart is aching, wanting to spend time with you before this day's over. Just a quiet time. Just open your Bible up. Just to talk to him. It's real handy when you get done talking to sit around a little while. Maybe he'd have something he wants to impress on your heart. He's that. Seemed to me like a revival is when we fix stuff like that in our lives, that if we're not careful, we let them slip. Amen? What's God want? God wants commitment. God wants me to love him like I should. And then God, I believe this, and I'm going to tell a story and I'm done. I believe God wants whatever my last flight is, for me to still to be faithful. I was riding along the car with Vance Havner one day. Every Vance Havner's books, anybody? Google him, look it up. If you find his books at a garage sale, buy them. You know, great, 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 great author. And I was riding along the car with him down Alex Bell Road, it's been a long time ago now. And he looked at me and he said, Charlie said, at my age, I'm just trying to cross the finish line and not fumble the ball. I never forgot that. The older I get, I want to cross the finish line. I don't want to drop the ball. There's young and middle-aged, and he's looking good, you know. And with my grandkids and my kids come walk by my casket someday, it doesn't matter if I never wrote a bestseller. It doesn't matter if I never got in the sword of the Lord or whatever. But I want them to say he never quit. I want them to say he was faithful his last day. He was still faithful. I want that. I want that. I was, when I was pastor, I had a buddy named Carl Banks. And Carl was a neat guy. He was just so neat. He was very smart. Really, he was smart with the electronic stuff. He was just, I don't know how to put batteries in a flashlight, but he was so smart at that stuff. And honestly, and Carl's in heaven, he knows, I don't mean this in any criticizing way, he kind of had a unique personality, okay? He was plenty smart, but he don't sit down and have a big conversation with him. He didn't want to say nothing. He just looked at you, you know. He would have nothing to say, he'd have nothing to say. Sometimes he didn't care what you had to say, you know. I mean, that was just Carl, but he loved the Lord. He loved me. I don't know why, but he loved me. And we'd go, he had him, when cell phones first came out, I didn't even have one, couldn't afford one. And when they first came out, he made one. I don't know how he did it, but he made, so help me. It was about that long, and it looked like something from MASH. You know what I'm saying? You know? And in the phone would ring in the middle. He'd sit second pew right there. He'd sit, and I'd be preaching. That stupid phone would ring. He'd pull it out of his coat and run the antenna up. You know, he'd say, "Hello," you know. And I'm up here trying to preach. You know, and he's just talking. You know, and his mama Carrie, "Carl, you need to be quiet." You know, and everybody could, they didn't hear Carl, but they heard Carrie. "Carl, you need to put that away." You know. I would have fussed at him, but I just loved them both so much I couldn't help it, you know, and everybody at church loved him. And Carl would go soul winning with me. Off we'd go. Every Thursday night, a lot of Saturday mornings, we'd go soul winning. And again, please don't take this wrong. Some guys just felt uncomfortable. They didn't know, you know, how to talk or whatever. And so they said, "Preacher, you go with Carl, you know." I'll go, Carl. And Carl, he ran an ice cream machine, not real far from here. And them little kids would run up there, bring him a dime and say, "I want a $4 milkshake," and he'd just give it to them, you know. He knew, they knew, you know, but he just did. He kept church tracks, but that little window. And he would sign it, and he would give it to them kids, and he says, "Now, the Moraine Heights bus is going to come through here, and if you'll ride it, I'll be at church. You bring me this track, you know, and I'll sign it again, and then the next time I'm through here, you can have whatever you want, banana split, milkshake, whatever, you know." And he'd walk in the auditorium, and them little kids, they'd come flying. It's like locusts in the land of Egypt, you know. Here they come across, and they're all running up to him with them tracks, them church tracks, you know. And Carl would stand there, and he'd sign them things, and he, bless his heart. About 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just woke up. You ever have God wake you up? Well, folks, I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm telling you, God needs to be more real to us than we're acting like he is. And I don't bat 1,000, but God woke me up that night. I reached over. I thought maybe something was wrong with Diane. They kind of scared me. "You okay?" "Yeah." And I was, "Lord, what is it?" And I don't hear God speak out loud. Little girl's mom said, "Go up and go to bed." And she said, "I'm scared." And mama said, "God's up there, going up there." She ran up there and hopped in her bed and said, "God, if you're in here, don't you say nothing. You'll scare me to death." You know, so I feel that way sometimes. You know, I've never heard God speak audibly, but boy, God's talked to my heart. And sometimes it's more real than hearing it with the ear on the side of your head. And I was laying in bed, wide awake, 2 o'clock in the morning. "You okay?" "Yeah, she's fine." I said, "Lord, what? What?" And I got the remote. I turned it on. Channel 7, WHIO, newsflash. They said, "Ice cream man had been robbed. And as a teenage boy, took a 9mm and shot him 3 times. And he jumped back behind the wheel." I could have told him Carl wasn't going to give him his money. Died in the seat and went down the road and crossed over and crashed into some bushes. I went to Campton, Kentucky and preached his funeral, but I thought about that. The Sunday before, he was in the second pew against the aisle praying for me while I preached. The Thursday before, me and him were out on soul winning visitation. That day when he died in that ice cream truck, he had those tracks stacked up. And he was reaching to those kids and saying, bring your mom and dad with you too. And pass. I thought about that. Carl was finished well. By the grace of God, I want to finish well. We don't finish well by quitting on God at the first flying lesson. God is faithful. When God brings you into a valley, he's already made the back door to it. You're going to go through it. And it's going to be for his glory and for your good. And maybe you feel like that little eaglet sometimes, but you listen, there's still a God in heaven. That God still loves you. God wants you to accomplish things in your life beyond anything you've ever imagined. And by the grace of God, someday we can finish well. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you'd speak to hearts. Lord, I don't know what folks are going through in this room. I've seen some tears. Lord, I don't know, but I'm so glad that you know all about whatever the burden is on their heart. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, maybe it's a fearful time for somebody. Maybe it's a stressful time for somebody. Maybe someone has just got a broken heart over something, someone that they love. And Lord, perhaps it's they've searched their heart and not claimed to be the world's greatest Christian, but they're trying. They love you. They're wanting to serve you. It's not a judgment of sin. God, it's just that you're working all things together for good, and you've come into their life. And Lord, just like that little mama eagle is dealing with that little eaglet, God, sometimes you said you'd deal with us that way. And Lord, when those times come, help us to trust you. Help us to understand that you still love us. Help us to understand that you're still faithful. And Lord, I pray that we would resolve to learn the lesson. Lord, let it be for our good, for your glory. And God, the talents and the potential just in this room, God, of what could be accomplished. And God, help all of us, starting with this little preacher, God, to make sure that our all is laid on the altar, that, Lord, that we're commitment and it's real. And God, that you're truly, not just in name, but you're truly Lord of our lives. And Lord, perhaps we need to do some dealing tonight, whatever it is you'd touch in our heart. Maybe we need to add something, take something away, God, whatever it is. Maybe somebody just needs to come and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. Lord, maybe someone here is lost. I pray they'd come and get that settled. In Jesus' name we ask it for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together. The music's going to begin playing. Would you pray? Pray first.